We're live. I want to welcome everyone back to our Tillum class. We took a little bit of a break last week, but thank God we're back this week. Hope everyone's doing well. And, you know, everyone's noticing that I try to match the themes in my background to what's going on in life. So today you'll notice it's the scene of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You might say, Rabbi Moskowitz, this isn't our Parsha class, this is our Tehillim class. Well, we try to match up what's going on in the Parsha class with what's going on in the Tehillim class for a very good reason. There are about 7 weeks between now and Pesach. That is very close, by the way. Which means that barring the 1 week I'm going to do something specific for Purim, that means that there's 6 weeks between now and Pesach that we are going to be studying Tehillim. And therefore, I thought it would be an opportune time. I've been saving this for a year and a half to finally study Hallel. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to start with chapter 113 of Tehillim. And between now and Pesach, we're going to study all of the chapters of Hallel. So that when we ultimately get to Pesach, and we sing Hallel to Hashem, hopefully together in person, sacrificing the Korban Pesach, those learning the Daf Yomi now have a greater appreciation for what it is that we're missing out on. So please, God, we'll be in Israel together for Pesach this year, and we'll be able to sacrifice the Korban Pesach, and we'll be able to do Hallel the way it was meant to be done. But if we are here in Boca Raton, or wherever you are, in the frozen tundra of the United States of America, as you see me here in my comfortable fleecy sweatshirt, so nonetheless, we should still have an appreciation for what Hallel is there to represent, what Hallel is there to provide for us. This is what we call Hallel HaMitzri, right? It was said with regards to Mitzrayim. Now, we've discussed that in the past, that there's something called Hallel HaMitzri, there's Hallel HaGadol. We have discussed that in the past, the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, that we will get to in Daf Yomi before Pesach. We'll talk about this, but if you had to summarize this chapter of Tehillim in one sentence, I would say that it's a universal praise to Hashem as the master of the universe. This is not a request, it's not a plea, right? Rather, it is strictly a praise to Hashem. And we'll see exactly what we are praising Hashem for. This chapter, while very short, and again, very familiar to us, which actually makes my job a lot easier, but also a lot harder, because it's familiar to us. So some of you might say, I know that chapter of Tehillim. What's Rabbi Moskowitz going to teach me this morning? But hopefully we'll always try to find new opportunities to learn and to grow together. This chapter is broken up into three primary sections. Section number one is Psukim 1 through 3. Where we talk about Hashem being blessed in all times, in all places. Psukim 4 through 6, we talk about Hashem sitting up on high and seeing everything and ruling everything. And then finally, Psukim 7 through 9, Hashem, we talk about the notion that He uplifts those in a lowly place. We'll talk about two descriptions of people who are downtrodden, who are in a low place, and a recognition that Hashem saves people even from those lowest points in those lowest moments. As I said, this chapter of Tehillim is somewhat, or should be hopefully, very familiar to many of us, which again provides us with a great opportunity, but also a great challenge to find new avenues of growth and new avenues of understanding. So let's jump right in. For those who came a little late, we're at chapter 113. Hallelujah, hallelu avdei Adonai, hallelu es shem Adonai. Now, again, there's a number of ways to study Tehillim. I could go through each pasuk and say how every perush understands every word in the pasuk, but that is not what I'm going to do today, because I don't want to overwhelm people with perushim and understanding. I really want us to get what I think is the central theme of this chapter in Tehillim. And what we're talking about here, again, section number one, is the notion that Hashem is everywhere and at all times. Rav Hirsch, in his introduction to this chapter of Tehillim, says something absolutely magnificent, which I will read for you here. Of course, it's not open to the right page, but let me open it up for you. Here we go. Rav Hirsch says something absolutely magnificent in his introduction to this chapter of Tehillim. He says, this series of psalms, so we're talking about Hallel in general, constitutes one group, namely the Hallel. This uplifting song of the Jewish nation has accompanied us through the millennia of our wanderings through the ages, has kept us alive within us the awareness of our mission in world history, and sustained us during days of trial. So says Rav Hirsch, this is not just any chapter of Tehillim, but this is a chapter of Tehillim that has accompanied us throughout our entire history, the good, the bad, and the ugly. At the hour of redemption, the Hallel filled our mouths with hymns of praise to Hashem. And even now, on the days appointed for the remembrance of the mighty acts of God which we have experienced,
The challah helps us relive the stern trials we have passed through and the rejoicing that was ours at the time of deliverance. So challah is our opportunity to reflect upon not us as individuals, says Rav Hirsch, but rather us as a Jewish people throughout history. And it's not just a moment of talking about our redemption, but it's also an opportunity for us to reflect upon the trials and the tribulations that we have faced along the way, and a reminder that at every step of the way, Hashem has saved us and Hashem has allowed us to perpetuate ourselves, right? Of course, famously, whether it's Mark Twain, what many people along the way, we all know the quotes, who said that one of the greatest miracles in world history is the Jewish people. That you and I are still here, the fact that Hashem has sustained us, the fact that Hashem has delivered us from every moment of trial and tribulation and challenge and moment of persecution, that is Hallel. That is what we recall during Hallel. So it's not about a specific time, and it's not about a specific memory. And while we will reference it back to Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's why it's called Hallel HaMitzri, Yetzias Mitzrayim is simply the paradigm for that notion of Hashem taking a lowly people, a people that were at the Mem Tet Shari Tuma, an unworthy people, and nonetheless elevating us into princes and princesses, giving us his sacred Torah, and allowing us to tap into eternality, allowing us to tap into a life of meaning and purpose, which I actually wrote about in the weekly this week, and everyone is encouraged and welcome to read that. So says Rav Hirsch, this isn't about a specific moment. This is the story of Klal Yisrael. This is the story of the Jewish people. That is why, parenthetically, in the hallel that we are not going to say in 3 weeks from now, right? 3 weeks from today is Tainus Esther, which means 3 weeks from tomorrow is Purim. And we, of course, know that one of the things we do not do on Purim is we do not say Hallel. The Gemara Megillah asks why not, and one of the answers given is Kriyasa Zo Hilula, that reading the Megillah is Hallel. Now, how is that, right? Hallel, we know, has a text to it. Hallel is a recitation of chapters of Tehillim. How can it be that reading the Megillah accomplishes what Hallel accomplishes? So the obvious answer is because what Hallel is meant to teach us, which is the notion of Hashem's sense of deliverance, that even when our backs have been against the wall, even in our moments of greatest trial and tribulation, we've always maintained that faith that Hashem is going to save us, right? Is there any greater story of that? Is there any greater testimony to that than the Megillah? And so when we read the Megillah, we get the exact same idea, the exact same set of values, the exact same philosophical reminders that we do through the recitation of Hallel itself. And that's why we don't need to say Hallel. We have the Megillah for us on Purim. And that's why, again, Rav Hirsch says that this is what all Hallel is. It is the story of the Jewish people. It is the song that has accompanied the Jewish people throughout our history. He goes on to say, God's wondrous mercy is at work not only in extraordinary occurrences, but also in the smooth, ordinary course of daily life. Right? And that's a theme that we're going to come back to numerous times throughout this chapter of Tehillim. God as the God who interrupts nature, and Hashem who is the God who works within nature. And so there are moments like Yetzias Mitzrayim, there are moments like Purim, there are moments like the Six-Day War, where God's hand is obvious and overt in this world. But then there's also today. And maybe or not you noticed, but at 9:39 in the morning, you and I have already experienced millions of miracles, right? That our bodies are working, that our hearts started this morning, that the sun rose this morning, that the birds are chirping this morning. I went out for a run this morning. I was experiencing nature all around me. Every single one of those is a miracle that we should never take for granted. So says Reverse, Hallel is not just a reminder of those grand moments in world history, but Hallel is a reminder of God's ordinary involvement in our daily life. As the Medrash says, again, Rav Hirsch quotes, Ma ge'ula pla'im, just as redemption is a pela means like a wondrous act, it's amazing, right? Af parnasa pla'im. You know what else is amazing? That you and I had food this morning, that I have my coffee here, that our hearts are working, that we were able to go to the bathroom this morning. That is also a pela. Uma parnasa b'chol yom. And just as Hashem gives us parnasa every single day, af geula b'chol yom, so too there is redemption every single day. And so therefore, Rav Hirsch concludes, indeed the ever-growing burden of galus makes the very survival of the Jewish people appear as one continuous miracle of God's saving power, so that the constant recurrence of God's mighty acts cause them to pass by unnoticed, right? We don't even notice the miracle If you had told Jews 70, 75 years ago that there would be more Torah learning in the world in the year 2021 than it ever in world history, they would have laughed in your face, right? If you would believe that we would have yeshivas like YU and Lakewood and Punovich and Bnei, all the, you name the denomination, there's yeshivas going on, right? It's unbelievable what's going on in Judaism. Not only have we survived, but we've thrived throughout history. How many of us stop regularly and pause about the miracle of human survival? Says Rav Hirsch, that is what Hallel is about. When you read Hallel, okay, next time we're gonna read Hallel is Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is, well, this week is Shabbos Mevarchim, so I don't know exactly when, but Rosh Chodesh is gonna be after Shabbos Mevarchim. It's sometime next week. I'm sure someone will put in the chat, they'll Google when Rosh Chodesh is. But Rosh Chodesh is gonna be the next time we say Hallel. Says Rav Hirsch, you know what you're supposed to think about when you say Hallel? You're supposed to think about the miracle of Jewish survival, right? The song that has accompanied us throughout history, that no matter what circumstances we have faced, Hashem has always bailed us out. Hashem has always redeemed us. That is what Hallel is about. He says this chapter in particular, chapter 113, thank you, Friday and Shabbos, this chapter 113 emphasizes the difference of the concept of Hashem cherished by the Jewish people from that held by the rest of the world. And that is a theme that is going to guide us through much of this chapter, right? How do we relate to Hashem versus how the nations of the world relate to Hashem? Keep that in the back of your mind. We're not going to discuss in Pasuk 1. We haven't even gotten like three words into this chapter. But we're going to come back to that. The unique Jewish relationship to Hashem and the way we view Hashem, irrespective of the other nations of the world. And so we have in Pasuk Aleph, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Avdei Adonai, right? We should praise Hashem, who? The Avdei Hashem. Hallelujah, Shem Hashem. We praise the name of Hashem. We've discussed in the past how the name of Hashem is Hashem's manifestation. That's how we refer. That's how we relate to Hashem. Rav Hirsch here points out that what does it mean, right? What does it mean? That it means that our job is to proclaim God in this world. He says, Hallelujah is the call that goes out to us as the Avdei Hashem, right? We are the servants of a God. And therefore, this chapter of Tehillim is a call to every single one of us to render our service, that is, our contribution to the advancement and realization of God's purpose on earth by proclaiming the ways in which He has revealed Himself through His mighty acts, right? We are the Avdei Hashem. And so when we say, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem, it's a reminder to all of us that we have to proclaim God's name in this world, right? Rav Hirsch uses magnificent wording here, right? It's our contribution to the advancement and realization of God's purpose on earth. God did not need to create us. God was perfectly fine without human beings. But what is our job? What is our mission? What is our mandate? Is to create that Kiddush Hashem, to sanctify God's name in this world, to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, to proclaim His name and His greatness to the world around us. That is our job. So we are the Avdei Hashem, says Rav Hirsch. So Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem. We have to praise God. Hallelujah, Shem Adonai. Says the Radak over here, Kishirotzel Adaber B'Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right? All of Hallel, Radak says, is about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So what do we start with? Hechel B'Gvuros Hakel Yisbarach She'asa Ba'olam. So what do we start? We introduce talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim with first talking about the greatness of Hashem. The Meiri says that we use Yitzias Mitzrayim as an example to illustrate that Hashem takes lowly things and brings them up high. And so we say, just as Hashem takes us as lowly humans and raises us up, so too that is what He accomplished to us as a people. When, as my background indicates, He took us out of Mitzrayim and He gave us the Torah, and He protected us through 40 years in the desert, and He brought us to our homeland. These are all the miracles that we are supposed to be reflecting upon. So says Radak, even if this is about Yitzias Mitzrayim, says the Meiri, even if this is about Yitzias Mitzrayim, we introduce it by speaking about the greatness of God. You can't fully appreciate Yitzias Mitzrayim without first having that appreciation of who Hashem is and how we are supposed to relate to Him. Pasuk Bet, Yihi Shem Adonai Mevarach, Me'ata v'ad olam. That the name of Hashem should be Mevarach, Me'ata, from now, ad olam. Radak points out, very simply, I don't think there's a big chiddush here, but he says, Me'ata means zman who? It means, when do we start praising God? Start praising God right now, right? Don't wait. Don't wait for the next miracle to take place. Don't wait for your next walk in nature, right? Every moment of life is an opportunity to praise Hashem, right? If we had time, I would stop the shiur right now and say, I'm going to give everyone 30 seconds. And I want everyone to praise Hashem for three things in their life right now. Not obvious. Could be obvious, I guess. But try to think of things that are less obvious. I want everyone right now, three things that you are uniquely grateful to Hashem. Not even grateful, that you're praising Hashem for the magnificence of the world, for the beauty of the human body, for the complexity of the senses that you and I are able to appreciate. As I always use my example of my coffee, that it doesn't just taste good, but it smells good and it awakens, right? All of these things are opportunities to praise Hashem all around us. So says the Radak, don't delay, me'ata, right now. Every moment of our life is an opportunity to praise Hashem, ad olam, obviously for eternity. The Mabam points out over here that what do we say? Yishem Hashem mevorach. Right? Malbim, classically, throughout his commentary in Tehillim, and I hope you developed certain tendencies of different mephorshim, right? We're more than halfway through, we're about 80 chapters in Tehillim, which is astounding, right? But one of the things I hope you've gotten along the way is an appreciation for commonalities and how different mephorshim approach different chapters of Tehillim. So one of the things you'll remember over and over again about the Malbim is that whenever there are two words used in close proximity that you and I think are the same thing, so oftentimes Radak says, yeah, just for emphasis. And oftentimes the Malbim says, just for emphasis. No, Tanakh doesn't just use words willy-nilly. No, there's a reason for why one word is used here and one word is used there. So what is the difference, says the Malbim, between hallelujah, praise, and mivarach, which means blessed? I don't have an English translation in front of me, but I would venture to say that any English translation will translate them very similarly. Says the Malbim, they're fundamentally different. That Hallel refers to something that is incredible and great, right? The Six-Day War is Hallel. Yetzias Mitzrayim is Hallel. Entebbe was Hallel, right? Those are moments of enormous opportunity to see God's greatness. They're incredible. They're earth-shattering. Bracha, says the Malbim, is opposite. Bracha is something that is continuous and constant. And so the praise that we give to Hashem is not just for those once-off moments of greatness, but Yihi Shem Hashem Mevorach, that His greatness is constant and consistent. Says the Malbim, Shetihila Hu Mitzad Gedulato Veromuto. Right? Praise is God's greatness. It's those moments where we have that light bulb, the shock and awe moments in Jewish history, we're able to sense God's greatness. Uvazeh, in that notion of God, and again, this comes back to what I think is the central theme of this entire chapter. Yodu gam ha'akum. Even the nations of the world can see God's hand in those moments. Vikaru la Eloa de'aleka. And even they can recognize God's greatness. They see the Six-Day War, they recognize God's greatness. They see the splitting of the sea, Shamu Ami v'ir gazun, right? The nations of the world heard it and they were all trembling. You saw the splitting of the sea, you had to know God. Right? That was easy, says the Malbim. V'chai v'lo hitale v'shevach. And they praise God in those moments. Avaloha bracha. But bracha is fundamentally different. She'abracha moral shefa hatmidit. Bracha is God's constant and continuous manifestation of His greatness in the world. Right? It's God's influence and impact on nature, on things that we take for granted, on the day in and day out mundane, trivial miracles that God performs for us. And therefore, He says, Shemei Atavi Adolam Yishem Hashem Mevorach, Al Yidei Sheisapru Hashgacha So Apratis. Through us talking not just about what I call big God, right? God of the celestial beings and God of the heavens, but of Hashkacha Pratis, God who cares about us, Hashem who's invested in our well-being. V'lo dai behilo levad. Then it's not just enough to give halal to Hashem, but rather what do we need? We need to be mevorach. We need to thank Hashem for those unceremonious, but yet equally miraculous moments in our lives. That's the Malbim on the difference between Pasuk 1 in Pasuk 2. Pasuk Gimel, Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mivao, from east to west, Mehulal Shem Adonai, God's name should be blessed. Rav Hirsch says, what is this, east to west? Again, magnificent language of Rav Hirsch. It is imperative that the true recognition of God be broadcast throughout the world. Right? I love that word. Be broadcast throughout the world. Now, of course, Rav Hirsch did not write in the English. Rav Hirsch wrote in German. So I'm not sure what word in German he used, but certainly the translator used a magnificent word. That is our job, that the recognition of God should be broadcast throughout the world. Right? If there was any one movement over the last 100 years that personified this notion, it was Lubavitch, right? The Lubavitch Rebbe. The Lubavitch Rebbe believed fundamentally that this was a job of a Jew, which is to broadcast God throughout the world. Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mivo. And if there's one quality that's defined Chabad, it's from east to west, north to south, all over and all around. The Malbim says, on this pasuk, Shehilol Kvar Hispashek on Eitzel Ha'akum, Shegam Heim Mahalalim. Right, the nations of the world praise HaGad. They see Kriyas Yamsuf, they can give halal to Hashem. Avalo mevarchim. But they don't give bracha to Hashem. They don't recognize Hashem, what I call little God. Right, the God who cares about what's happening in my life right now. The God who it's not beneath him to come down from the heavens, so to speak, and to pay attention to what's going on in my heart, in my mind, and in my life. And so says the Malbim, that is the fundamental differentiation between Judaism and other religions. For us, there's big God and there's little God, and they are not contradictory. Right? The Hashem who created heaven and earth, and the Hashem who cares about Philip Moskowitz, is one and the same. And there's no contradictory therein. For other nations, they are able to understand as God as the creator, as big God, as God who breaks nature to create miraculous events like the splitting of the sea, but involved, invested in my everyday life, God who cares about what I'm doing right now, that is not the case. And his proof is the next pasuk. Pasuk Dalet. Ram al kol goyim Adonai, al hashamayim kvodo. Right, how is God defined here? He's Ram al kol goyim. He is elevated, says the Malbim. Right, according to the nations of the world, God is so elevated, virak al hashamayim kivodo, that his kavod, his honor, is only found in the heavens. Ve'ein kvodo lahashkiach bishvalim. But there's no honor in caring about little old Philip Moskowitz. V'alkein ein shmo mevorach etzlam. And therefore, there, God's name is not Mivarach by them, because Mivarach means that God is involved in, yes, even little Philip Moskowitz's life. Now, this is an idea we talk about a lot, and we take for granted this notion that Hashem didn't just create the heavens and the earth, but Hashem cares and expresses his providence over every single one of us. We're so used to it because we talk about it, but we should never take that notion for granted. We should never underappreciate what a great chiddush that is for Judaism to fundamentally believe that God has that unique relationship with every single one of us. Says the Radak over here, Rama kol goyim, shekol ha-goyim romamuhu, afal pichin kvodo aniflahu ala shamayim. Says the Radak, even though Hashem is praised by all, his greatest praise is in the heavens. Why? Because they uniquely can understand and appreciate all of his greatness, right? We have no concept of what it means that God is great. But if you are an angel, then you have a little bit more of an appreciation of just how great God is. So that's how the Radak says, right? Ram al kol goyim Adonai ala shamayim kavodo. What does it mean? His honor is in the heavens. Because only the celestial beings can truly understand how great God is. We have no concept of what it is. Or the Radak says that if you add up all the praise together, from east to west, if we got every single human being together in the world and said at 11:50 on Thursday morning, everyone's going to praise God, Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mivo, then it doesn't measure up to how great God is. That's the Radak's second interpretation. Again, I think both are beautiful. And here we come to what I think are the most important psukim. Mi Kadonai Eloheinu Hamagbi Lashaves. Who is like God? He raises up those. He raises people up. Says, let's start with a verse. Rav Hirsch over here says, God was recognized by mankind as the Most High even before Israel was sent into its midst. Not the awareness that God is on high, but the conviction that he is near. Right? And that's the tension that's playing out in this chapter of Tillim. God is on high, God is transcendent, but God is also near. That he looks far into the heavens and into the earth, and is close in his rule even to the lowliest of creatures, is that which distinguishes the Jewish concept of God from the ones held by the other nations. Right? Transcendent, but near. That is our unique relationship to Hashem. That is what makes God so special to us. Says Rav Hirsch, that is why you'll notice that over here it says, Mi Kadonai Eloheinu. How would you translate Eloheinu? Our God. He says this is the attitude which motivates us, Jews, when we call him Eloheinu, that he is our God, that he is unique to us. This is what the rest of mankind should learn from us and through us concerning the one God. That is the message that we have to teach the world, not just that God is one, not just the notion of monotheism, but that there's no distinction between a guy who's on God who's on high, that a guy who's transcendent, that a God who's far away, but also Eloheinu, that he's my God, that he is a unique relationship to me, that he is near and close to me, that he cares about me. That's why you'll notice that over and over again, it says, Hamagbihi, Hamashbili, Lahoshivi, Moshivi. All right, why all the yuds? Over and over again throughout the second half of this chapter. Explain the Mefarshim. Because the yud means that it applies to me. Moshivi, he does it to me. This is unique and personal to me, not just Jewish history. And that's the tension. That's all the dichotomy that's playing out here. That on the one hand, he's God of history, but on the other hand, he's my Hashem. On the one hand, he created the heavens and the earth, but on the other hand, he cares about me. Right? That is the beautiful, magnificent, I don't even want to call it tension, but that's the unique interplay that is taking place in this chapter of Tillim. Hamashpili liros bashamayim of aretz. God lowers himself down to care about the heavens and the earth. Says the Mitzudas David, Mi anav kamohu, who is humbled like God, because ki af im amnam hu magbias atzmo lasheves me'al shamayim, because even though he's so high up, nonetheless, hu mashpil einav, he lowers his eyes, lahashkiach al kol hanase b'shamayim ha'aretz, to care about everything that happens in the heavens and the earth, ki lemul romamuso af ha'shamayim teichashev la'ayin. Right? Even for God, because of his greatness, the heavens are like nothing to him. And that's why Hamashpili rose, Bashamayim Uvaaretz. Now even the heavens are lowering for God because he's so high up. We can't even comprehend how high up he is. And so he lowers himself both for the heavens and the earth. Says the Malbim here. Again, this is the Malbim's theme throughout the entire chapter. Shegadlohu kolkach biltil bal tachlit. He is so high up, you and I have no concept of what that means. Achein hevdel etzlo ben hashamayim va'aretz. There's no differentiation for God between heaven and earth, because both are so much lower for him. Okay? But nonetheless, right? Ein hevdel ben hashamayim va'aretz etzlo. And despite that, despite the fact that God is so high up, mikimi me'afardal. And to me, this is the most, I think, really, in all the psukim we've studied together in our 80 plus chapters of Tillim, Pasuk Zayin here, I think, is one of the most beautiful. Mikimi me'afar dal. He lifts up the dal, the downtrodden, from the dirt. Me'ashpot yarim evyon, from the garbage. He lifts up the impoverished. Says the Malbim. V'neged ma shehayu omrim she'osher ve'harish ve'abanim ve'akaros taloi b'mazal v'maracha. The Malbim says this is to counter those who believe that wealth and poverty and fertility, things that matter to us greatly and deeply, are all, they're just natural, right? They're mazel. It's all up to luck and to chance. So keneged that is our belief. Omer lo ki lo kenu. This chapter says no. Sheshnei elu tluyim be'ashgachas Hashem. That all of this is taloi on the providence of Hashem. It's all up to God, right? Mikimi me'afardal. He despite the fact that he's Rama Kol Goyim. Nonetheless, he's Mikime Me'afar Dal. He lifts us up. Think about it. Dal is the lowest point. Me'ashpot, God will go into the garbage with you, and he'll lift you up. And he won't just lift you up, but Lo Shivi Imni Divim Imni Divi Amo. But he'll even lift you into a people of princes and princesses. Say the Mefarshim, this is talking about the story of the Jewish people. Right? God lifted us out of Egypt. We were a nation of slaves. We were unworthy of his providence. And yet, he literally went into the garbage dump of Mitzrayim. And he elevated us, Lo Shivi Imni Divim. He gave us his Torah at Har Sinai. And he turned us into a Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, a nation of priests, a nation of princes and princesses. Moshivi Akeres Havayis, Eima Banim Smecha Haluka. Again, we said there were two examples. One was the poor and the impoverished as the other. What's more painful than a woman who is barren, a woman who can't give birth? And nonetheless, Moshivi Akeres Havayis, he returns her. Moshivi, he returns her. Right? Says the Mitzudos. Who Moshev es Hakara Babayis? Ki ba'oda Hakara shavta Habayis ma'at pam b'chutz pam b'rechovos lafeg tzara. Right, because again, I'm going to translate these words, and I'm going to be very blunt right now. Right, and I hope when a woman is infertile, she can't have children, so she feels on the outside. Right, when so much of Judaism is based on family, and Yom Tovim and Shabbos meals, and this woman comes to shul. And she's reminded of her infertility all around her. It's painful. And it's lowly. And she feels on the outskirts. So what does Hashem do? Moshivi Akeres Habayis. By giving her children, Hashem brings her back into the house. Hashem Be'ashgachaso Poseach Rachma. He opens up her womb. Vateled Vateshev Babayis. He welcomes her back into the house. Now she feels part of the community again. She doesn't feel on the outs. She doesn't feel like she's distanced from everybody else. But now she feels part. She feels part of the experience because of her having children. So this is the chapter of Tehillim. I think it's a really beautiful, magnificent chapter of Tehillim. I think it resonates with me. Let's just summarize, and then I want to make one final point. Right, what's this chapter about? Again, if I had to summarize, it's about praise to God, but it's specifically about our unique relationship with Hashem. It's about a reminder that Hashem is great, he's big God, but he's also little God. He cares about me, and he cares about you, and he cares about what's going on in our mind and what's going on in our lives. That is unique to Judaism. Says Rav Hirsch, says the Malbim, we should never underestimate that unique relationship with Hashem. And I believe that's why we use this chapter to introduce the next chapter that we're going to study next week. Because what's the next chapter? Bitzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim. That God took us out of Egypt. So what we almost do is we say, before we even get to Egypt, before we even get to a recognition of God's hand in world history, and the greatness of God's hand in world history, it's important to remind ourselves that God doesn't just care about Judaism as a whole. He doesn't just care about the world as a whole. But you know who he cares about? Me. And he cares about you. And so we introduce Halal HaMitzri, the Halal of Jewish history, with first reminding us that he also cares about us on a micro level as well. I'll share with you just two final sources. One, I think, is they fit in perfectly to what we've been discussing today. One is from Rav Matisyahu Salomon, who writes on this chapter of Tehillim. He says, Avalafi emes mika Hashem Elokeinu magbil lashaves. Who is like God? He is so high. Asher anachnu Yisrael amo ma'aminim. We, God, we, his people, believe. Ki magbil lashaves harbe yos mimashe mashsigim. That God lifts us up more than we could ever comprehend. Ad shemashpil l'ros b'shamayim of aretz. Right, wrote Salomar halo gam es ha'shamayim hubara. V'u kavayachot tzarech lahashpil az atzmo. God is so great. He has to lower himself. Listakelba, to look into this world. V'chein mashpil atzmo. Od yosir l'ros gam ba'aretz. He goes even lower to look down into my life. U'v'chvodo v'atzmo mashkiach al koprat uprat. And despite his greatness, he notices every little thing. V'in nistar l'fnei kvodo. There's nothing hidden from God. Ad shegam mikimi me'afardal me'ashbos yarim evyon. Even to the point where he noticed in the garbage dump. Ve'in anu roem bazeshum p'chitut kavodo yitbarach. There is no lessening of God's kavod when we talk about God caring about me and you. Va'adarabba, says Rav Matityahu Salomon, the exact opposite. Zehu kvodo. That is the ultimate greatness of God. Ki yisod pinat emunatenu, that the essential component of our emunah, hu liyachis kol ha'shefa tov rak elav, to recognize that all of this is for God. Right? It's only for God. Va'af ba'olam ha'shafel, even in our lowly world, shu tachtit ha'tachtit, which is the lowliest of the lowliest, hu levado ha'mashpil l'chol echad mibruav. He cares about every single one of his creations. And he provides for every single one of his creations. And he says, "Uvamnam b'mat anu makirim hashifluso zo liros mitzad ani ve'evyon et zemelam denu amizmor hasheni." Right? Where do we know that God cares about us even when we're lonely? Where do we have the confidence to say that God, you care about me even in my lowest moments? Ah, that's Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the next chapter. That's when we use Yetzias Mitzrayim as a reminder to say that on a national level, even at our lowest point, God cared about us. So too on an individual level. Even at our lowest points, Me'ashpos Yarim Avion, God is going to lift us up. There's no greater representation of this than the bracha that we make when we come out of the bathroom. Right? Asher Yatzar Es Adam B'chachma V'ravo Nikavim Nikavim. We say, God, you created us with holes in our body. Right? Chalim chalim galoi v'yadua lifnei chisei chvodecha. Hashem, it is revealed before your kisei hakavod. There is no other bracha. No other bracha that you and I make in our lives which refers to the kisei chvodecha. Except for when we come out of the bathroom. Why? Says the Vilna Gaon, an amazing idea. He says, ma shemazkirim kan, that which we reference here, Hashem's kisei, bibircha sasi atzrachav, what, specifically the bracha when we go to the bathroom. Hulafukai midas ha'omrim. It's to counter out those who say, she'akadosh baruch hu i'efshar she'yashkia al olam hashafel, who want to say that there's no way that God could care about the lowest parts of the world. Right? There's no way that God cares about my bodily functions. There's no way that God cares about what's on my mind today. There's no way that God cares about me. Right? There are those who believe that. And so to counteract that terrible theology, says the Vilna Gaon, Lekach Anu Omrim, She'afilu lifnei kisei kvodecha, She'afilu hamalachim agvoim omdim. Right? Even before God's throne, He cares about whether I went to the bathroom. He cares that my heart is beating. He cares that what's on my mind and the struggles and the challenges that I'm going through. So says the Vilna Gaon, specifically for this bracha, specifically when we come out of the bathroom, at the moment when you would think God cares about you the least, because it's a bathroom and it's dirty and disgusting. No, even there, lifnei chisei chvodecha, even there God cares about me. Hamashpili leros b'shamayim v'aretz, me'ashbos yarim evyon. Even from our lowest point, God cares about us. And so that is this chapter of Tehillim. I think it's our magnificent chapter of Tehillim. And there are really two ways to read it, as we described. Either it's a recognition of God cares about us. And how do we know God cares about us? Yetzias Mitzrayim. Or it's about Yetzias Mitzrayim. But before we get to Yetzias Mitzrayim, let's remember that He doesn't just care about us nationally, but He cares about us individually as well. As you see by my passion this morning, I think this is one of the most magnificent chapters of Tehillim. I think it is so fundamental to our belief in God. I think it's something we oftentimes take for granted, but don't often enough stop and fully appreciate. And hopefully, as we continue to study, we'll have that appreciation of big God. Hashem is the God of the universe. Hashem is the God of Jewish history, but also of little God, of the God who cares about me, who it's not beneath Him to come down and to care about everything that's going on in my life as well. And with that, I wish everyone a beautiful and inspirational week. And hopefully next week, we'll continue to study. Rosh Chodesh is Friday Shabbos. We'll have studied two of the chapters by then. And as always, hopefully it'll give us a renewed appreciation. I want to wish everyone a beautiful, beautiful week.